My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, who is also now a senior strategist for the U.S. Army. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of major issues involving national security. First of all, the change in the regime in North Korea following the death of Kim Jong-il and the apparent installation of his son Kim Jong-un, although he may have some help from the military, at least in the beginning here. We also want to get his reaction to the very deadly series of bombings in Baghdad today that killed more than 60 people. And, of course, that comes just days after the final U.S. troops left Iraq. And, Colonel, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg.
Let's start with the news of the day, and that's Iraq and obviously this series of bombings in Baghdad. I believe there was over a dozen, 60-plus people dead, over 100 wounded. Some evidence suggests that this is Sunni-related, targeting Shiite sites. How do you read this, and how much of a coincidence or not is it that this comes as soon as it did after we left?
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence, and it's probably Sunni-related. The Sunnis walked out of the parliament almost 2 weeks ago, and you find sectarian tensions building. We knew that this was probably inevitable, and we were hoping that Prime Minister Maliki and his Shia coalition could hold things together, that they would treat the Sunnis as equal partners. But there's a lot of history here, so there's a good chance they aren't going to be able to do that.
And the conventional wisdom then would be, well, if we had left a sustaining force of a few thousand or up to 20,000, as some military officials wanted, this could have been prevented perhaps. But the counter argument to that perhaps could also be that eventually Iraq would be left in this position with U.S. troops gone. So do you think a U.S. presence would have made a huge difference here?
Well, certainly the Iraqis in many, many sectors believe that an American presence was needed for stability reasons for a long time. You know, keep in perspective, you know, we went in there in 2003. This is 8 years later. In places where we've had prior, you know, wars, Japan and Germany, we stabilized for decades, and of course we're still in those places. This culture is different, and it is radically divided because of sectarian differences and tribal differences. We knew well beforehand that if we lock, stock, and moved out, that inevitably they were going to revert to more violence. I'm just fearful that, of course, this is going to end up serving the Iranians' interests, and it's going to really cause the Saudis to react in a very violent way. I'm afraid perhaps a nuclear way.
And talk about that a little bit more. How do you expect this to play out and potentially escalate?
Well, you know, the Shias, of course, in Tehran have wanted to use the land bridge of Iraq to resupply their allies in Syria, Bashar Assad, the president who's in has serious problems, and also into Lebanon with the Hezbollah, which is his proxy. Certainly the Saudis have really been sending very clear warning signals that there are problems with the Iranians trying to push their way across the entire Middle East and to be the hegemon. In fact, a senior prince made an announcement 2 weeks ago that the Saudis are seriously looking at going nuclear. So these are very serious warning signs. We, I think, have a vested interest in keeping stability over there. Having kept a few thousand troops in Iraq, which we could have done if we had worked it out years ago instead of waiting the last minute like the president did, trying to negotiate something. So this is a very volatile time. On top of that, you have the Arab Spring, which, of course, has torn apart many countries, and many of those countries are going in the radical direction of Sharia law and Islamist regimes.
Is there anything we can do substantively now that we're out?
It would have to be at the invitation of the Baghdad government, a unified government, and I don't see it as unified. My concern is that the Turks are going to come in from the north and occupy a good portion of northern Iraq because of the Kurdish problem they have. And, of course, the Iranians will further infiltrate the southern part of Iraq, and the Saudis will place forces in the south. These were infinitely projected. I've been writing about it for years, and unfortunately, you've got the likes of President Obama and some of his advisors that clearly put their heads in the sand.
Colonel, last question on Iraq. It seems almost like you're projecting here that this is going to devolve. It's just a matter of how quickly and in what fashion. Is there a positive scenario here, or are we basically going to be looking at, in either near-term or short-term, a pretty severe rollback of what our armed forces were able to accomplish?
Even though there are many good domestic forces, they don't have an international border capability. So the Iranians are going to continue to take advantage, as will the Turks. It's hard to be optimistic, knowing the volatility of that country. It's an artificial country. The British drew the lines, and it did not follow tribal lines, sectarian lines, didn't make any real sense. And that's 100 years ago. That is a significant history, and we're trying to cobble together something with people that just don't get along. So I've always had a problem being optimistic about the way it is. And early on, I supported dividing it into three separate countries, which made more sense.
On to North Korea now in our last couple of minutes here. Colonel, you've written about that extensively as well. And you've basically said in recent days following the death of Kim Jong-il that this provides a sliver of hope, I guess, for that Western influence or at least modernization or moderating of the regime could take place. But she said we probably shouldn't bank on it. Why not?
Yeah, well, you're going to have a collective ruling system. Kim Jong-un, who is the heir apparent to Kim Jong-il, who died on the 17th of December, a young man educated in Switzerland inside an embassy, no experience at running anything, even though he's a four-star general by his father's promotion. He's going to be basically mentored in the job by Jang Song-taik, who is his uncle, and then the military is going to go along. So keep in mind, Kim Jong-il, when he took over from his father in 94, it took 3 years of purges to consolidate power and to become the undisputed dictator. This young man doesn't have any of that experience. He didn't have the 14 years that his father had running government institutions and working closely with the military. And I think this analysis is pretty consistent with what South Korea's intelligence community is saying. And it's also, it's interesting, the Chinese are having a role in here, and they want to see as much stability as possible because they don't want to flood across their northern border or their southern border with North Korea. So it would appear as if, we have an unpredictable situation near term. We can only hope that it will solidify, that the military will demonstrate kind of a smart way ahead and not try to instigate further unrest. What they really need are, plenty of fuel, plenty of rations, and for us not to threaten them. And because if we do threaten them, like they did on Monday, they'll fire more missiles and just create more havoc.
Well, last question. You mentioned the key word, I think, in the minds of a lot of people, Colonel, and that's stability. Based on the inexperience of this new leader, even though he will be tutored to some extent by his uncle and other military leaders, do you get the sense that the region is less stable, more stable, or about the same with this change at the top?
It's more unstable at this point because we just don't know the predictability. Of course, the Chinese are doing everything they can to stabilize it, and the South has a vested interest in doing that. If this guy has to prove himself to the world and to the military, then you can expect some more hostility.
Yes, there's certainly been incidents of that even before Kim Jong-il died. Colonel, thank you very much for your time today, as always, and have a wonderful Christmas.
You too. Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis. He is a senior strategist now for the U.S. Army. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.